Good morning. Welcome, everybody, this morning. Isn't it a beautiful fall morning out there? So nice and crisp. This time, we're going to quiet our hearts and start our worship this morning with our prelude. Thank you, Barb. That was beautiful as always. Just a couple of announcements I'd like to highlight in your bulletin this morning. We have a pot pie dinner coming up. It's on November 2nd from 5 to 7, and they have takeout at 4:30. Cost is $10 for adults. Back in the gathering place, there is a table set up where you can sign out some tickets to sell, and those tickets are due back then October 27th. Another thing is the Fall Children's Consignment Sale. It says October 20th, but it's actually Saturday, October the 19th, from 8 till 2. They have a large selection of infant and children's clothing, shoes, things like that. So if you know anybody that has little ones, I know I've been there. It's a great place to come out and pick up some things for them. If you turn your bulletin or your insert over, just a status on the 100 years of congressional status celebration. Now, this is all the churches that joined together, the Myerstown, Heidelberg, and Richland. That'll be held on Sunday, October 20th at 7 p.m. at the Heidelberg Church of the Brethren. There's an insert in your bulletin this week, just listing the date, when and time, and a little bit of background information as well as on those joining of those meeting houses. If you want to look at your refrigerator news for this week, a few things I'd like to add is on Monday, we will be having praise practice at 6 o'clock. Also, on Tuesday, just a reminder that we have executive meeting, commission meeting, board meeting from 6:30 to 7:30. Those are varying starting times. As well as on Thursday, which isn't listed, there's a ladies' aid meeting at 6:30. Okay, and now if there's any further announcements, I know Kim has an announcement, if you'd like to come forward with that.
Good morning. In honor of Pastor Appreciation Month, we just wanted to present Marty with just a gift, a small gift of our appreciation to you. Thank you for everything you do.
Now, if you would please join in singing, stand and join in singing from the Brown Hymnal, number 263, Come Thou Fount, and remain standing afterwards for the call to worship, please. Thank you. So shine that men may see your works and glorify your Father.
Christ has called us to live the abundant life and to express to men everywhere the adventure of living in fellowship with Him.
He is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
We come to worship, to discover more completely how to cooperate with his Spirit in us and in the world.
He knows both our needs and our potential. He will heal the one and lift us to the other. He will not let us go. We belong to him. We are his people.
Therefore, let us worship with praise, adoration, and joy.
And please join with me in the invocational prayer. O God, author of eternal life, lead us in our worshiping this day, that our lips may praise you, our lives may bless you, and our meditations glorify you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we'll be hearing from the chair of choir. For our offertory statement this morning, it's from Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This week when I was reading my devotions, I came across this reading. Now, it doesn't have an author, but it just spoke to me as there's other things that we can give as well as monetary things. And it goes like this. I wish I had a box, the biggest I could find. I'd fill it right up to the brim with everything that's kind. A box without a lock, of course, and never any key. For everything inside that box would then be offered free. Grateful words for joys received, I'd freely give away. Oh, let us open wide a box of praise for every day. Will the ushers please come forward? And let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for everything that you give us, the many blessings, whether they be monetary or they just be things of kindness and other blessings that we can share with one another freely. Lord, help us to enjoy this day, and thank you for letting us come to worship together. In your name we pray, amen. Now the children are dismissed for children's church, 4 years to fifth grade, and we're gonna join in the offertory hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, in the Brown Hymnal number 196. And now we'll have the reception of a new member.
As Jose comes up, I wanted to share some thanksgivings. First of all, I want to thank Kim for being worship leader this morning. And also want to thank the church for the gift, the kind gift that you gave me for Pastor Appreciation Month in October. It's very much appreciated, and I thank you very much. And also, I want to thank the Cherub Choir. The song they sang, Father Abraham, I don't know, how many of you ever sung that before? Father Abraham, that is one of the hardest songs to sing. I could never do that, you know, when you're sitting there bobbing your head and turning around and trying to sing. But they really did a good job, and so we want to thank them for that this morning. Today, we want to celebrate the reception of Jose Torres, who is becoming a new member here at Myerstown Church of the Brethren. Jose has formerly been a member at the former Midway Church of the Brethren, which is no longer a Church of the Brethren. The letter it actually came from the district, because since Midway is no longer Church of the Brethren, Jose's letter went to the district office. District office sent it to me. I verified that with Pete Contra, and he said, yes, you just go ahead and recognize him as a new member, and so we're going to do that this morning. Jose, you have previously made confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and have been members of Christ Church. We rejoice in your decision to become a member of this congregation in full covenant relationship with the believers who worship and serve with God in this place. Jose, do you now reaffirm your faith in and loyalty to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and his gospel?
I do.
Jose, as you willingly unite with this church, will you worship, serve, and share in its program, supporting it by your earnest prayers, regular attendance, loyal service, and faithful stewardship as God gives you strength? Jose, do you promise to live and share with us in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love, sharing and bearing one another's joy and pain?
I do.
Would the congregation please stand? And there is a congregational welcome that's on the screen there. I ask that we read that in unison. Let's all read this in unison. We welcome you with joy and affection into this household of faith. We pledge to you our help, our prayers, our concern, that we may all increase in the knowledge of love of God. We trust God for strength to follow with you in Christ's way, keeping together the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You may be seated. You may be seated. Jose, the members of this church bid you welcome in God's name. On their behalf, I give you the right hand of fellowship. And we pray that all of us, united in Christian fellowship, may grow in all Christian graces in the service of our Lord. Let us pray. God, we just want to rejoice this day as we welcome Jose into the membership of this church here, Lord God. Lord, we bid our love and support for Jose in becoming a member here and in fellowship. And Lord, as I read those vows to Jose about being loyal to the church, we pray that that would be all of our promise, to be in love and fellowship and to be faithful in our attendance and worship. And Lord, may we all increase in the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In your bulletins, there's an insert that has the listing of names we need to remember in prayer for a time of prayer. I want to give the church an update on a few of the people that we're keeping in prayer. Just ask that you keep in prayer Dutch Dobbert. We have prayer on Sunday mornings, and he's been a part of that group, and he really misses being in church, and he continues to have concern with his toe, and he needs to keep weight off of it, so he's at home right now, so keep him in prayer. Carl Wenger, keep Carl in prayer. He is at Manor Care doing rehabilitation. Stopped by to give him communion, and he's very grateful for that, along with others that I've given communion to. So keep Carl Wenger in prayer for recovery. Also, another a lady in the church, Mary Ann Gibble. Mary Ann Gibble is in Cedar Haven Home, recovering after surgery. So we need to remember her. Stopped in to see Lori Saracini. Continue to keep her in prayer for recovery after surgery. So let's come to our God in prayer this morning. Gracious God, we just thank you and praise you for this time of fellowship and worship this morning. Lord, help us to know that it's just so wonderful to be in the house of the Lord with our fellow believers in time of fellowship. We pray that this would be a time that we can continue to set aside each Sunday to worship you and to be in fellowship with each other. We thank you for the opportunity to worship, and we pray for those, Lord, who cannot be here this morning, either through illness, Lord, and we just lift the many who on the prayer concern list this morning. We want to lift up Dutch this morning as he's recovering from problems with his toe. We pray, Lord, for your physical healing, that Dutch might be able to make it back here to worship where he wants to be. We lift up Carl Wenger in prayer, who's recovering, and we just pray for him while he's at Manor Care for recovery. We want to continue to pray for Mary Ann Gibble as she recovers from surgery, and also Lori Saracini, who is recovering from surgery from home. And Lord, there's many others that are listed in the prayer concern, Lord, and we just lift each one to you. Lord, all of us, Lord, should have a concern that we need to continue to follow you and to bring all of our questions or doubts or hardships to you, O God. Help us, Lord, just to come to you in faith, to know, Lord, that you have an answer in every situation that we face. We lift up our community of Myerstown and the surrounding area. Pray that we as a church, we as Christians, Lord, would be a light in our community to help those in need. We pray for our nation right now, for our president, for those leaders in our nation, Lord God, that they would really have a desire to follow your ways. And we lift up, Lord, the churches, Lord, who are being persecuted, the Christians who are being persecuted for Jesus Christ. We pray that we as a overall church would continue to lift them in prayer and help us to see the privilege of worshiping you. Right now, Lord, we pray your blessing upon the scripture reading. As we read a scripture reading, Lord God, we pray that it would just speak to our hearts and souls. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I also wanted to say a word about our revival services last Sunday, or last week. We had I think we had some really good messages from Brother Chris Smith, and I think we've really been blessed by those services. This morning, turn your Bibles to Luke 17, verses 11 through 19 for our scripture reading, and in your bulletins you'll see an insert, and if you can follow along at that if you wish. But I ask that you get your Bibles out as we're going to be looking through some passages this morning. This is the passage where Jesus cleanses the 10 lepers. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Hear the word of the Lord. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." May God add a blessing in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which we need to read and meditate each day. Because, Lord, this is your letter, your word to us. May we all increase in knowledge as we study your word. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Are you someone who is a gracious person? Are you thankful? Someone once said that gratitude is the healthiest attitude that anyone can have. And I believe that. I mean, just think about the people who you might know who are always thankful. They always seem to be happier than a person who's complaining all the time. Grateful and thankful people seem to have more friends, and they probably live longer than the person who complains and is negative all the time. And I would also add that a person who is thankful and gracious for God is a good witness for the Lord. Because this is how God wants us to be. We find this in today's lesson. God wants us to be thankful and gracious to him, especially when we live in today's world. And I know we live in a very difficult world. We live difficult lives. There's a lot in our world that we should not be thankful for. But the Bible tells us the opposite. If you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us some instructions here about what we need to do as Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, there's a whole list of things, starting with verse 16. He says, "Rejoice always." 17, "Pray without ceasing." And in 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, to be thankful. And my prayer is that by the end of this message, by the end of the service, you and I will be able to give thanksgiving to God and be gracious towards God in everything, like the Apostle Paul says. And that regardless of your circumstance, you can give glory to God in everything. Let's look at the text for today. Let's look at Luke 17. Luke chapter 17, back to the main text, verse 12. If you back up one verse, it talks about how Jesus was just making a journey. He's passing through Samaria and Galilee. And then as he enters a certain village, it doesn't give us a name, but it's a village, and he met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Now I want us, first of all, to look at what it was like to be a leper in Jesus' day. And as I was looking and studying this text, and as I read how much lepers go through, we should all be counting our blessings. I mean, you think you have it bad. Look what it was like to be a leper in Jesus' day. In this text, there are 10 lepers. Lepers had to stick together. This is why it says they were 10 of them together. Lepers had to stick together because they had to stay away from everyone in public. They were a people in isolation, who lived in isolation. And the reason lepers lived in isolation in Jesus' day is because leprosy was known to be contagious. It was a deadly skin disease. It was believed that if someone had leprosy, it not only meant that you were physically ill, but they also believed that God was punishing that person because of sin in their life. That was the belief back in Jesus' day, that if you had leprosy, it was some kind of punishment from God. That was a very, very hard thing to accept. In fact, the law of God in the Bible in Leviticus 13 actually says that if someone had leprosy, that leper had to warn everyone nearby and say, unclean, unclean, whenever they're in public. Leviticus 13, 45 to 46 says that. And they said that they need to live alone. One biblical commentator I read said a leper was living a death sentence. And there is little compassion for the leper in public, which is why they stood afar off, as it says in the text. Little compassion. And so it's no coincidence that Jesus comes into Samaria and Galilee. God wanted him to come there because of the need. And then when Jesus came, these 10 lepers lifted their voices to Jesus, verse 13. And said, Master, have mercy on us. Why did they cry out? Because they were living a life where they had no hope. Think about your own life. Situation that you might be facing. Maybe you face a situation where everything seems hopeless. And you're crying out for mercy. That's all you can do, isn't it? Lord, have mercy on us. Now, when you look at illnesses, from what I've read, there is no illness that is called leprosy today, but there are sicknesses where people live in isolation. I was talking to Rachel. Rachel used to work in a hospital, and I asked her, is there anything where there is an illness where you have to be isolated away? And she said the only thing I can think of is a person who has TB. They need to be isolated away from everyone. But leprosy was much worse than that in Jesus' day. To make things worse for the person who had leprosy is that there is no cure. There's no treatment. They did not have anything or anyone to heal them of their disease. The only thing the leper had to do, was required to do, was go to a priest. But the priest did not treat the leprosy for healing. If you read the text back in Leviticus and read it carefully, the leper went to the priest, but the priest was the one who either pronounced the leper as clean or unclean. He didn't treat the illness. He had to say whether they're clean or unclean. And so we can see why the 10 lepers cried out to Jesus for mercy. And when it comes to illnesses today, many people today are asking God for their healing. I remember when I was pastor at a church in Northern Ohio, we had a Christian radio station where there was a half hour of prayer time, and the area pastors would come and lead that time of prayer time. And I remember on the times that I would lead prayer time, people would call in their requests, and we'd get these sheets. And out of all the requests, the most numerous requests were for requests for physical healing. There is a need out there for that. And we can understand that, no matter what you're facing. We all want to be healed. We want to be made physically well. And sometimes God chooses to heal someone, and sometimes God doesn't. And we struggle with that. People struggle, you know, when God chooses not to heal. But the thing that we need to understand in today's lesson is that healing is not the only gift that God can give us. There is a healing of our faith in God. Healing faith in God. Now let's look at verse 14, and let's look at how these lepers were healed. How did healing occur? There was a healing of faith in God. In verse 14, it says when Jesus saw the lepers, Jesus said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, look at that carefully. The text says, when they went, when the lepers went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed on their way to see the priest. The priest did not heal them. They were healed and they were cleansed before they saw the priest. So how did healing occur? They were healed when they obeyed Jesus' word. When they obeyed Jesus' word to them. That's what you call healing faith. Another way of looking at this is that healing occurs on God's terms and not ours. On Jesus' word, healing occurred. And I know people today struggle with that. We want to be healed on our terms. And if I were to be one of those 10 lepers, and if I would have seen Jesus, I would have said to Jesus, you know, just heal us right now. You know, while we're here, just lay your hands on me now, and I'm going to be on my way home a happy man. That didn't happen that way. Because Jesus had his own plan. God had his own plan. Jesus wanted to be obedient to the law of Moses, which is why he said, "Go see the priest." Jesus didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law, as the Bible says. This was a way of fulfilling the law through healing. Healing never happens on our terms. It never happens in our time. It happens on God's terms, in God's timing. At the same time, our faith in God is strengthened many times when we're not healed on our terms. The other point we need to know is that the healing of these lepers in a text is not the end result. When someone is healed, that's not the end of the result. There needs to be gratitude and thanksgiving to God for your healing. And I really believe that when we give our praises and thanksgivings to God, he hears us. He hears us and he'll bless us even more. But only one of the lepers who were healed gave glory to God. And Jesus makes this point. That one who gave glory to God was a Samaritan. Verse 18, it says, "Were there not any found who returned to give glory except for this foreigner?" Jesus actually called this man a foreigner. I know we might not be able to get away with that today, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible uses the name foreigner to refer to an unbeliever. That was an unbeliever in Jesus' day, a non-Jew in Jesus' day, someone who is not bound to the law of God. So Jesus makes a point that it was a foreigner who gave God the glory. That was big. That was big. Jesus said it was a good Samaritan who stopped by and helped a man who was in need of care in the passage of the Good Samaritan. The Levite, the priest in that passage, just walked past the man in need. What does that say about us? Are we really more spiritual? We who have been raised in the faith, in the church, are we really more spiritual than someone who does not know God? You get the message. Jesus was giving this Samaritan, this foreigner, a compliment. And Jesus said to him in verse 19, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." Isn't that good to know? That we are made well in our faith in God. What did that mean for the Samaritan who was healed? I really believe that even if that Samaritan wouldn't have been healed, he would have been fine with that, because he believed God had something better planned for him. And he thanked him. "Your faith has made you well." Jesus mentions that in a number of passages. Faith has made you well. It goes beyond any racial barrier. It goes beyond any barrier that we have between people. It's not about that. It's all about how your faith in God makes you well. Your faith has made you well. That means you should have no worries, no doubts, no fears about anything. Because if we know Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, you can handle anything that comes your way. So is your faith in God well this morning? And this is where we should be as a church, as a people of God. The Samaritan who gave glory to God really should be a model believer for us in the church. Because he was someone who is not bound by any barrier. His ethnicity was not as important to him as his faith in God was. Where he came from was not that important. It says that we all have a common need for God. Isn't that where we should start as a church? Our common need for God. And so I want to pose this question to all of us this morning. Can you and I be like the Samaritan man who is gracious and thankful? When I look at him, I see someone who is living a happy and carefree life for God, not bound by any law, not bound by legalism. He's just thankful for God and everything. I see the Samaritan man as someone who's eager to talk about God and talk about what God did for him, and he wants others to have that, not to brag or boast on him. He just wants other people to have what he has. And he wants you and I to know that there's nothing in this life that can take away the blessings he's received from the Lord. That's who the Samaritan man was. But the text says he was the only one out of 10 to turn back to God after he was healed. Martin Luther, one of the great theologians, someone asked him, what is worship to you? And he says, it was the Samaritan man who came back to God and thanked him. That's what true worship is. But what about the other 9? We need to look at them. What did they do? Were they people who knew God and was raised in the church? Were they people who took their faith in God for granted? So Jesus' words as us this morning should speak to our hearts. When he says, "Where are the 9? Where are those who I healed? Where are those who I blessed? Where are the 90% of the people who didn't give glory to God? It makes us wonder if we are the 90% or the 10%. Are we the 90% who shows no gratitude towards Jesus? Or are you the 10% who glorifies and thanks God? And I thought about those numbers, 90 and 10%, and I was thinking, is God trying to tell the church that we are not grateful to God? Is that an accurate number? It's hard to say. Only God knows what's in people's hearts. I understand that. But we need to begin to look at ourselves first and ask, am I grateful to God in everything? And I personally confess, I must confess that I need to do a better job at that. I need to do a better job of being gracious to God in everything. And I found out that you can't always get what you want in life. I think we all know that. But when that happens, I still need to be grateful to God in everything. What about the times when we don't get our way? When you're having a bad day? When you're receiving a bad health report? When your favorite team loses? That's a big one for sports fans like me. I used to live in Ohio for 13 years, and I was in the midst of Ohio State Buckeye country. And on the Sunday morning after the Ohio State-Penn State game, I would hear it in church. And then after that, I'm thinking, why am I all down about that? There are greater tragedies in life. One day last week, I came back home from work, and Benji and Daniel were on their bikes racing around the garage. I came home and found out that Ben was really crying up a storm. I said, what happened? They said, well, Ben lost to Daniel in this bike race, and you should have seen him. He just put his head down. He just thought this was terrible. And I said, Ben, there are greater tragedies in life. I don't think he got that. His whole world was shattered. But I think we can all learn that there are greater tragedies in life when things don't go our way. During those times, we can't let it affect our faith in God, which is the most important part of our lives. Our faith in God does not determine whether we get our way or not, because God's on the throne. No matter what circumstance we face, God will have his way. And all we can do is do what the Samaritan man did. When he came to Jesus in verse 16, he bowed down before Jesus and gave him thanks. May that be our worship. May that be our witness to the Lord today. Be grateful for what you have in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. No matter what you're facing this morning, put your faith and trust in Jesus, because as Jesus says, your faith has made you well. Trust him in everything and be gracious to him in everything. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the lesson you give us in your word, that we are to be grateful in everything. And Lord, we pray for forgiveness for times when we aren't grateful for what we have, for what you've done for us. We pray that we would have that heart and graciousness of the Samaritan man who gave you thanksgiving in everything. May we, Lord, return that thanksgiving to you. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue worshiping our Lord by singing our closing hymn. I don't have it on here. What is it? 197. Would you stand, please, as we sing our closing hymn? benediction is taken from 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.